In part two of this three-part series on sleep, we'll talk about some get good sleep tips. We know that we need sleep and we need good sleep, but many of us don't get nearly enough of it. These are some of my tried and true methods, and I'll also share my own unique sleep plan method on how you can design it so it works for you. Welcome to the Highly Sensitive Healing Podcast, where we meet the joys and challenges of our sensitivity with open minds and hearts to awaken our best, highly sensitive selves. Welcome, friends. Tanya here, and today we're talking about how we can get better sleep as HSPs. In part one of this series, I told some of the history of how we used to sleep before our lives were changed by artificial light and industry, and how that story relates to some of the sleep issues we face now. So if you're interested in that, please make sure you check out that episode, and I'll put links to that in the show notes. So how do we get more deep and replenishing sleep, especially during times of high stress when our nervous systems are on high alert? In my own life, after suffering from insomnia for decades, I've found that focusing on the practical things, implementing simple steps into my daily life, has made a huge difference in how I approach sleep. And today I'll tell you about 9 of my favorites. So let's get started. Number 1. The first thing we need to do is identify our sleep habits. And a great way to do this is by keeping a journal for a minimum of 30 days. This will help you to find patterns that could be causing you some sleep issues. And you can use anything, an old legal pad, you can get a nice journal if that motivates you, or even use, you know, the notes app on your phone. But it's really important that you track all of your daily activities as well as how you sleep at night. And this might seem a little overwhelming to track all of these things at first, but if you do it little by little throughout the day, it really takes hardly any time at all. You'll want to track your meals, your snacks, anything that you drink, any exercise, and most importantly for us as HSPs, any overwhelming encounters or experiences that we've had during the day. For example, it might be something at work that happened, or maybe something at home that's caused you to have a highly sensitive reaction or response. For the daily sleep section of your journal, you'll want to track the time you went to bed, approximately how long it took you to fall asleep, how many times you woke up during the night, and what woke you, if you can remember. Maybe it was a dream, or in my case, probably a cat jumping on the bed. And note how long that you were awake for and what time you woke up the next day, and if you needed an alarm to wake you up or if you just woke up naturally. I'll have a link in the show notes where you can download some of my good sleep tips for free that will have all these questions there for you. Number 2, if you're experiencing troubled sleep, ask yourself honestly what is happening in your life at this moment. What events in your life might be affecting your sleep? Is it a conflict at work? Are you or a family member, maybe you're dealing with an illness? Are you struggling in a relationship or maybe even with a creative project that you're working on? And if you can identify anything different about what's going on around you, what may be different about you at this moment in time? Have your ideas changed about something in your life? Maybe something that you had accepted before as fact, or that's just the way it is. Maybe your perspective on that is starting to shift. Number 3, write it out or talk it out. When you're asking yourself these honest questions about your life, I highly suggest that you either write out your thoughts by hand or maybe even talk them out. I'll be honest with you, sometimes I really, really struggle with journaling. A lot of the time, my brain moves way faster than my hand, so I can't always get things out fast enough. But then I started video journaling. I stumbled onto this sort of by accident when I was in an online group a while ago where one assignment was to share a story from our childhood. I felt it was a safe space, so I decided that I was going to be open about some of the trauma that I experienced as a kid. And when I did this, I was so surprised because I felt such a weight lift from me as I spoke and cried a lot while I was telling this story. But as I was telling it, I could actually feel a physical change in my body taking place. And from that experience, I just started to do it for myself. I would just record a video on my phone just for me alone, just to tell a story or just to talk about something I was going through at the moment. And I'll tell you, to speak my truth out loud, I can't even begin to express to you what a change this was for me. Sometimes I kept the video for a while and other times I just deleted it right away. But each time I spoke my stories out loud, I felt lighter and more at peace. For me, as a highly sensitive kid growing up, and maybe this happened to you as well, if you were in a situation growing up in a family where you couldn't express your emotions and your feelings freely, for me, in the emotionally abusive homes that I was in, my voice was always silenced or dismissed. And for as long as I can remember, it was always this way from being, you know, even 2 and 3 years old. So I learned from a very young age that my thoughts and my words were not important. No one cared about anything I had to say, and none of my feelings or emotions were valid. So what I did was I internalized everything I was feeling and experiencing, and I just learned to live inside my head so much that over time, all of this chaos that was going inside of me, all these feelings and everything that I was pushing down, it just wouldn't let me sleep. They would come up in moments of quiet. You know how that is when you're just alone with your thoughts. All of these things would start to surface. And on the rare occasion that I did try to verbalize my feelings growing up, even being into a teenager in my early 20s with my family, I was so emotional that I could hardly ever get the words out. But I've learned by speaking alone to a camera and then listening and watching myself without any judgment was really an unexpected gift of catharsis that I wasn't expecting. So if you're not a fan of handwriting in a journal, or if you really just want to give it a try for yourself, I can highly, highly recommend it. If you do this, please reach out and let me know if it made a difference for you too, because I'd love to hear from you and about your experience. Number 4, plan your week and follow up with it each night. So the night before your week begins, for most of us this will be Sundays, just make a list of everything you want to get done that week. Now, make sure that your list is practical and not aspirational. I've fallen victim to this many, many times myself. All the things that in an ideal world I would get done, sometimes I'd have a list of 50 things. That's just not practical, right? So we want it to be practical so we're not letting ourselves down if we get to the end of the week and we're saying, oh, I only accomplished 40 of those 50 things. So our to-do lists should be realistic. So when we can do our best to avoid this by feeling even more overwhelmed than we already do. And once you've made your list, just study it honestly and then choose 3 things that you want to prioritize and then maybe 3 things that you can let go of that you can do at a later time. Number 5, is there one task you can remove from your evenings to make them more peaceful and calm to get you in the mindset of being in a restful sleep? For me, to remove something, I started to make my lunches in advance on the weekend so I wasn't making them the night before. And to add something to make your evenings more relaxing, maybe you can do a puzzle the last hour before bed instead of watching TV. These small changes really helped me to calm my mind and nervous system, especially after a really stressful day. Number 6, nutrition. According to the Sleep Foundation, as a general rule, a balanced diet made up largely of a variety of vegetables and fruits is able to provide the recommended daily intake of vitamins and nutrients, contributing to better sleep while also promoting a healthy weight. And growing evidence indicates that sufficient nutrient consumption is important for sleep. One large sleep study found that a lack of key nutrients such as calcium, magnesium, vitamins A, C, D, E, and K could be associated with some sleep problems. While this research doesn't prove a cause and effect, it does support the likelihood that your diet affects your hormonal pathways that are involved in your sleep. And according to the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, many people believe that high-protein meals are really the key to getting a good night's rest, but actually the opposite is true. High-protein foods block the brain's ability to produce serotonin. And because high-protein foods contain more amino acids, tryptophan, the amino acid that eventually turns into serotonin, is crowded out of the brain. So as a result, high-protein foods will leave you feeling alert and not rested. So what's a potential answer to these nutrient questions? Here are five easy-to-find vitamins and minerals that really can help you to get a good night's sleep. Number one is vitamin D. Most experts actually agree that vitamin D isn't actually a vitamin, but rather it's a hormone that's made in our bodies with the help of sunlight. It was found that a vitamin D deficiency is in fact associated with a higher risk of sleep disorders. You can get vitamin D from supplements, of course, and also from sunlight, but if you live in a place like the Pacific Northwest, where I live, sunlight can be sometimes hard to get a lot of months out of the year, so we need to keep an eye on our levels. We can also get vitamin D from mushrooms and fortified plant milks. Make sure you check with your doctor to see what your current vitamin D level is and if and how much you should be supplementing. Number two is vitamin E. This vitamin has a neuroprotective effect that can prevent sleep deprivation, induced memory impairment, and it's a powerful antioxidant that keeps our immune system strong. Sunflower seeds, almonds, and wheat germ oil are foods that contain vitamin E and are easy to get at your local stores. Number three is B vitamins. There are 8 B vitamins that are vital to your health, which together are called the B complex vitamins. Some research shows that certain B vitamins, B3, 5, 6, 9, and B12, can help regulate the body's supply of tryptophan, which helps the body to produce melatonin. Melatonin, once again, is a hormone produced in our body that makes us sleepy. These B vitamins are usually in most multivitamins, and a healthy diet with plenty of whole grains, protein, fruit, and veggies is usually a good amount. But make sure if you're plant-based like me, that you check with your doctor about adding a B12 supplement. Number four on our vitamins and mineral list is calcium and magnesium. These two are recommended together to take before bed because they both aid in muscle contraction and relaxation. It's thought that low levels of calcium and magnesium can cause interruptions in sleep. So calcium also works with tryptophan to produce melatonin, which you'll remember we just mentioned before with the B vitamins. Chronic insomnia is also one of the initial symptoms of a magnesium deficiency. Adding plenty of greens, nuts, and seeds will ensure you get magnesium and calcium, and you can also use a supplement as well. And number five on our list is iron. The number one symptom of low iron levels is fatigue and sleep disturbance. Low iron levels are thought to be a major risk factor in also restless leg syndrome, which can cause sleeplessness or insomnia. Low iron can also contribute to feelings of anxiety, which can also make it really hard to sleep. Have your doctor check your iron levels, and if you're low, they might recommend a supplement. Some dietary sources are beans, lentils, tofu, baked potatoes, cashews, dark leafy green vegetables such as spinach, and it's also in fortified breakfast cereals, whole grain, and enriched breads. It's important to note that vitamin C helps your body absorb iron. So try to take any recommended supplements of iron with a vitamin C-rich food like an orange or maybe some berries. It's always important to talk to your doctor or your pharmacist prior to using vitamins for sleep or before you add any supplements to your diet, as some of them, especially the fat-soluble vitamins like A, D, E, and K, you can overload on easily, as well as iron. A doctor, a pharmacist, or a dietitian, or a holistic nutritionist can give you specific advice about how much of any supplement you may need. Some supplements aren't suitable for people, especially if you're pregnant, breastfeeding, or if you have certain medical conditions. Number seven, sleep affirmations. one of my favorites. Sleep affirmations are just positive statements that we say to ourselves before bed, and I like to repeat them over and over again until I fall asleep. Don't underestimate the power of affirmations. They can really help us to increase our confidence, challenge our self-doubt, and can calm our thoughts before bed. And when we repeat positive things to ourselves, we can rewire our brains and we turn negative thought patterns into positive ones. Think of affirmations as a kind of workout for your mental health. A few examples that I use are, I am grateful for the lessons taught to me today, so I am stronger tomorrow. I am grateful for my body, and my body is peaceful. I will let my worries go. My body, my mind, and my heart deserve rest. Number 8. And this might be a little bit of a controversial one, but I think if you try it, you might be surprised. Number 8 is sleep naked. This one might sound a little too daring, or maybe even a little stressful at first, but you really want to consider the potential benefits before you dismiss it. Sleeping naked actually has several science-backed advantages that can help you to get a better night's sleep and even positively impact your overall health. Sleeping clothes-free can help you to fall asleep faster and sleep deeper by decreasing your body temperature and eliminating many of the highly sensitive reactions we have to different fabrics. It can help us to build self-esteem and confidence and reduce our body's dissatisfaction. If you sleep with a partner, it can increase your feelings of connection between the two of you. And did you know that skin-to-skin contact actually releases the hormone oxytocin? It's a feel-good hormone that promotes feelings of security and reduces stress and anxiety. It also improves female reproductive health by allowing increased air circulation and male fertility by reducing body temperature. If you're concerned about having to leave your bed in the middle of the night, sans clothes, just keep a robe nearby in case. If sleeping without clothes seems like too big of a step for you, just try sleeping in the minimum that you can for a few nights just to get used to it. Make sure you have enough blankets in case you get cold, and let your partner know why you're making the change and invite them to consider sleeping naked with you. And most importantly, just go at your own pace and only do what feels comfortable for you. And if you can't bring yourself to sleep with no clothes, then just try to find some sleepwear that's made of natural fibers like cotton, something without any scratchy tags or little extras. And last on our list today, number 9, is designing your sleep plan. I came up with this super simple flowchart system after a string of sleepless nights a few years back, and I found that the more I used it, the less I actually started to need it. It's a simple flowchart with 3 basic headings and steps I'll follow if I've had a stressful day and if I'm overwhelmed, or if I can't fall asleep, or if I wake up in the middle of the night and can't fall back asleep. It's a simple, if A happens, then I'll do B, C, or D. And that's all there is to it. I used to overthink all of these things while they were happening, and I'll tell you, I've lost countless hours of sleep, days, years it's probably added up to. And it added so much additional stress to my life trying to figure out what to do in that moment when I wasn't able to sleep. So for example, if I've had an excessively stressful day, I'll either plan to take a relaxing bath or maybe work on a puzzle instead of taking a shower or watching TV. Or if I can't fall asleep after about 15 minutes or so, I'll have a paperback and a book light, usually something I've read before so I don't get too involved in it. It'll be on the nightstand right next to me, ready to go. And I set a limit for myself of about 20 minutes until I'll put the book down and close my eyes and try to sleep again. Using this simple flowchart took all the guesswork out of what I should and could do when I couldn't sleep and all the additional anxiety that came with it by just planning ahead. So I'll share my good sleep plan flowchart with you as an example, and then you can use any of my ideas, of course, but I'll also share a blank version so you can build your own. You'll find a link to both versions in the show notes. You can build it step by step to suit your own needs and easily update it over time as your life and needs change. So there are plenty of great tips and ideas out there, but for me as an HSP, many of them over the years were really hit and miss. All the tips I share today in this episode have made a huge difference in the quality and quantity of my sleep, so just try some of them out and reach out to let me know how it goes. I hope they can help you to get the good sleep that you really need and that you deserve. Don't forget to check the show notes to get your good sleep flow chart. Next week is part 3 and the last episode in our Better Sleep series. We'll talk about all things yoga and sleep, and I'll share how you can get my free 10-day good sleep challenge guide. So come back next week so you don't miss any of the good stuff, and I'll see you next time. Thank you so much for spending time with me here on the Highly Sensitive Healing Podcast. New episodes are released Wednesdays, and please feel free to reach out with any questions or comments. And never forget, we were given this highly sensitive life because we're strong enough to live it.